As you can see, we'll be in the book of James, if you'll turn over there with me. James chapter 1. I'm so pleased to see all of you here this morning. We do have a number of people that are visiting with us, and we are very happy that you've chosen to worship God with us today, and would ask that you take a moment to fill out a visitor's card for us, and of course spend a little bit of time with us afterward that we might have an opportunity to get to know you just a little bit. We're going to continue studying in the book of James this morning, starting in verse 21. James chapter 1 and verse 21, it states, "Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." Now, since our reading for today begins with that word, therefore, I want us to set the stage just a little bit more. So if we back up a little farther, we go to verse 16, don't be deceived. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Verse 19, knowing this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. This is the stage when he reaches the point of therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word. So there are some observations we're going to make this morning from what James has written and recorded for us by inspiration of the Holy Spirit about the Word of God, that work which the Spirit was doing then and is preserved through the ages for us today. And he's talking about the power of the Word of God. Paul described it as the power of God unto salvation. And I think sometimes it's so easy to lose sight of the power of the Word and think that, well, it's just something for me to study. It's something I need to learn facts about. It's something that I need to remember names about. It's something that I need to show up for Bible class for so that we can look at it a little bit more. And we forget the real power behind the Word, which is that unto salvation. So keep that in mind, that it is this truly powerful working of God when we think about the fact that he says, receive the implanted word. Don't just listen to it. Don't just be entertained by some stories from the Bible. Don't just look at it as something that is, you know, satisfying some curiosity. Receive that word which is able to save your soul. And so as James is putting it very clearly, it is this powerful working of God with that outcome that he wants us to reach, that outcome of saving our souls. And its power to save is in its ability then to create anew that which was corrupted, that which was lost, that which needed to be found. And so when we think about the power of the Word of God to save, we think about, for example, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. He says, "Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since..." Okay, that we might use a word "because." We might state it that way. "Because you have been born again. Not of a perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding Word of God." Did you notice that? You see, we think about the salvation of our souls, and obviously we think about Jesus. We think about his sacrifice being nailed upon that cross, his blood being shed, being the Lamb of God for us. But let us not overlook that he says that this is accomplished also through the living and abiding Word of God. Peter continues on and says, All flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. It's not going to go away. It's not going to change. It's not going to be unreliable in any respect. It is the word of our God, the word of the Almighty God, the word of the one who created everything, the one who was and is to come. And so when James wrote there in verse 18, it is in chapter 1, he says, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This is the power of which we are speaking. The word of God that contains the way of salvation through Jesus Christ. You cannot take Jesus out of the equation for salvation, but neither can you take the word out as well. It is truly a gift from God. And so it is truly this power to save. And along with that power to save, it is the power to sanctify us. The word sanctify means to set apart for a holy purpose. Let's go to the book of Psalms, to number 19. Psalm 19. David sang of the word's ability to sanctify the Lord's people. In Psalm 19, beginning in verse 7, words that you might recognize, we sing a song that is based upon these words that states, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. So much revealed to us just in a few verses of this song written by David. The value of the Word of God to sanctify His people. Indeed, in John chapter 17, beginning in verse 15, Jesus, in a prayer, speaks of the sanctifying influence of God's word when he says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So the word of God sets us apart for his purpose. It sanctifies us to serve in the kingdom of God, in his holy family. And likewise, the word will preserve us. The young were told to preserve their way by the word of God. Psalm 119 and verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Oh, we make excuses for the young sometimes. Oh, they're just young, or they're just ignorant, or, you know, something along those lines. But there is an expectation that this word would be passed down to them, that they would learn it, that they would follow it, and by such, it would guard them. It would guard their way. Then in verse 11, it says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We have to truly store it up so that it can guard our way, so that we might not sin against God. If we go over to the book of Acts, to chapter 20, Acts chapter 20, you have this heartfelt time in which Paul meets with the Ephesian elders. This would be the last time that he spends time with them. It is a tearful departure. But he also, during this time, is giving some instruction and some admonition. And so in Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 28, he said, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Look at the role that the word is playing even before it had been fully compiled and shared so that it could be copied and copied and shared the world over. He says, look, I spent all this time teaching. I didn't hold anything back from you. Follow it. And now we have that teaching recorded for us that we might do the very same thing. So when we take the time to consider the power of the Word of God, it becomes evident how important the Word is to each and every one of us who would choose to follow Christ. Because it is the value of this implanted Word stored up within our hearts that can only be realized when we utilize it, follow it, allow it to guard our ways, and yes, there are, some guidelines or conditions that are put along with it. So how do we truly benefit from the power of the Word of God? Well, we kind of go back to where he started. There is that filthiness, there is that rampant wickedness that he is describing. Well, let's go to the writing of Paul to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, another instance in which Paul begins to make a list of things, things to consider. And in verse 5 of Colossians 3, he says, put to death what is earthly in you. And then he begins to extrapolate what those things are: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. You see, in utilizing the Word of God, but we love the passages that say love one another and, those positive passages. But the Word of God is not complete without both the positive and the negative, the warnings. You see, that young man's path is not guarded unless he is being given the warnings. And we do that. Fathers, we spend time, especially with our teenagers, son or daughter, either one, and we try to give them some guidelines of, look, there's certain people that are going to be out in this world. They're going to partake in certain things, and they're going to try to get you involved with them. And these are warning signs. We try to give those to our children. The Word of God does that too. It gives us those warning signs, things to consider, things to be looking out for. And he says, look, you've chosen to follow God now. You've chosen to be a disciple of Christ. And when you choose to be a disciple of Christ, you put off a certain way of life. So put away all the filthiness and the rampant wickedness. And for the Word of God to really bear fruit in our lives, then that sin has to be rooted out. It has to be removed, thrown out, no longer to be partaken in whatsoever. And we cannot hope to benefit from the study of the Word if we continue to dwell on that which is filthy, that which pollutes us, that which pulls us away from God. Sometimes people ask questions about Bible study, and they ask questions, how can I, do a better job of studying the Bible, or, how can I get more out of it? It starts right there. It starts with getting all that stuff out of your heart that's blocking the Word of God from really taking up residence. We have to be willing to uproot those things out of our lives. And so we have to approach the Word of God with the right attitude. James said, receive with meekness the Word of God. That is an humble and receptive attitude. We have to approach the Word of God with the thought in mind, God is speaking, and I want to hear what He has to say. And that does not mean that everything that we find in the Word of God is going to be easy to accept. But if we have that humble and receptive attitude, then we can handle those challenging things. We can handle those difficult things that we find within the Word of God. And with the help of God, with the strength that He grants to us, both through His Word and by asking for it, we can make the choices necessary to change who we are by the grace of God. In order to remain humble, we need to remember two basic things. One is, we've all sinned. It does not matter degrees. It does not matter, you know, how many you could list. Maybe somebody had a lot more things they partook in than somebody else. That doesn't matter. We're all on an even playing field. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not a single one of us that could stand up and say, look how great I am. No. We all need to fall down at the feet of our Savior and say, who am I that you would place such an importance to die for me? We must be humble and realize that we need the grace of God. We need the saving power of His Word to transform us. And the second thing is that if we don't truly approach the Word of God with an open mind and an open heart, we can deceive ourselves. We can prevent the Word of God from having its full effect on us simply because we have not opened ourselves up to the whole counsel of God. I see it many times. And it's heartbreaking every time when someone will not accept the plain teaching of Scripture because they've put up a block to not allow that to penetrate their heart. They will not accept. If we are truly going to receive with meekness the Word of God, we have to let it in. Don't put up any blocks. Psalm 119, verse 18, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Wondrous things. And I will be the first to admit that there are some really incredible things in this world. I haven't seen even a fraction of them. We've traveled to the Grand Canyon. I've stood on the rim and looked down into it and behold all the beauty that is there. I've been in the mountains. I've been to the coast, you know. And I haven't been that far. There's a whole lot of world out there that I haven't seen. I see it through videos. I see it through pictures. Places that I will most likely never see for myself. There are some truly wondrous sights to behold. But in looking at those things, I wonder sometimes if we lose a sense of wonder for the Word of God, that we become so fixated on the things that we can see out in the world, when the most wondrous things that God has done are contained within these pages. Yes, God made a beautiful world that we live in. But more than that, He offers the salvation of our soul, and that is great. That is far and above any sight you will see on this earth. And so we must allow the Word to be implanted within our hearts. And I like that word, implanted, because it's got to take root. It's got to grow. It's not a box that we just open up once in a while and stuff a couple of verses in there and close it up and say, okay, I'm done. It's got to take root. And by taking root in our heart, that means that it influences every part of our life. That means that there is nothing untouched. There's no corner of our heart that we reserve for ourselves and not allow the Word to penetrate. It needs to grow. At this time of year, most of us are planting gardens of some sort. Maybe it's flower gardens, maybe it's vegetable gardens, you know, whatever you like to do. You know, we've got a couple of fruit trees, we've got a few vegetables that we've planted. Only the Lord knows what we'll see this year so far. It's been kind of a strange year with weather, and that has thrown off a few things. But we plant those things with hope. But you know, I don't go out there and plant that garden and then say, okay, let's see what happens. I'll come back in a couple of months. No, I get up in the mornings. I get my cup of coffee. Usually I have my breakfast before I do this, but then I take the dogs and I go outside and I walk through the garden and I look to see what's growing. You know, is something wilting? It's because I care about that garden. I've put my sweat equity into it. I've put some amount of our, you know, monetary resources into planting that garden. I want to see something out of it. And I begin to care about every one of those little plants that's growing, and I'm checking them and I'm trying to care for them. Now that, I think that's just a really small example of how we ought to care about the Word of God taking root and growing in our heart, that we've got to be checking on it, if you will. How's the Word doing in my heart? Is it growing? Has it taken root in such a way that it could never be removed? Are we watering it, figuratively speaking? Are we caring for it? Are we continuing to cultivate it so that it can truly fill up our hearts? That's what we need to be doing, that implanted Word which can save your soul. So we take the words out of these pages, we implant them and care for them in our hearts. And if we don't do that, if we just, you know, open that box and just stuff in a couple of verses and think we're done, that we're okay with that, then we're no different than many of the Jews that were testing and questioning Jesus in his day. That they knew a few select things, or the leaders might have had, you know, especially the scribes, a great knowledge of the Scripture, but they were really just paying lip service to things. They weren't truly allowing it to change them. Look with me in the book of Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, beginning in verse 6. Hebrews chapter 8, beginning in verse 6. As it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. For he finds fault with them when he says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and so I showed no concern for them, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. In speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. What's becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. So he says, as great as that old covenant was, it wasn't enough. And so now there is this new covenant on Christ. But did you notice that middle part right there? They didn't keep his covenant. Part of receiving with meekness the implanted word is keeping the covenant with God. A contract in which God has said, I want to save you, here's how I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to set aside your sins if you do my will. Not all that different than the promise that was made under that old, where they could take the land and they could prosper and they could have, you know, this land flowing with milk and honey, and they'd be safe from their enemies. God would fight for them if they kept his commandments. But they did not. And they were rejected. They lost their prosperity. They lost their safety. They were taken away in captivity. And what do we expect to happen to us if we won't follow his covenant, his will? Be ejected from the kingdom of God, losing the safety of our soul, being taken into captivity of sin once again. What is the Word of God? Is it just ink on paper? I've printed more pages than I can imagine. Millions. I've put millions of pieces of paper through printing presses. Putting ink into the fountain, thinning out the ink, putting it on a plate, impressing that onto a piece of paper. Is that all the Word of God is? No. No, that's just a process. That's just a machination. The Word of God is the power of God unto salvation. It is something to value. It is something to cherish. And when we truly value something and cherish something, then we nurture something on a daily basis. Are you nurturing the Word of God in your hearts on a daily basis? James said, we got to be doers of the Word and not just hearers of the Word. Which days do we be doers of the Word? It's every day. Every single day. None is left out. There's no vacation time. There's no day off from Christianity. You either are or you are not. Now, if we are, then we have the grace of our God to help us for our infirmities, physical and spiritual. But if we are not, we cut ourselves off from God, because God is not deceived. Do you know who else is not deceived? It's the deceiver. He knows the truth, but he still wants to deceive. And make no mistake, the deceiver is at work, and he knows where your vulnerabilities are. We want our heart to be guarded, then we need the Word of God to stand as that defense. You know what happens when we're only hearers of the Word? We become hypocrites. And the sad thing about many who become hypocrites is they may not realize it themselves. But make no mistake, others do see it. Your children can see through it. Your children can see that you speak a different language on Sunday morning than you do on Monday morning. Your children can see that your priorities are different during the week than they are on a Sunday or Wednesday. The people around you can see that you act differently than you claim to follow. The blessedness of the Word comes when we don't just look into the perfect law of liberty, but we continue in it and we are a doer of the Word. We put it in our hearts, we let it take root, and then we act on it. Now, both in Proverbs and as Jesus reiterated, what those things that get stored up in our heart, they come out in the way that we act, in the way that we talk. I submit to you that if you are having difficulty with the way that you act and the way that you talk, then we're not storing up the Word in our heart the way that we should be. You see, what James is saying, don't be just a reader of the word, but be a liver of the word. I live by the word of God. That joy, that peace, that happiness that we so much desire that is promised comes from an actual application of the word in our lives and comes out in faithful obedience. So yes, James calls the word of God that perfect law of liberty because it is this power to recreate us anew, living this new life, having been sanctified, set apart for the purposes of God, and that we might be preserved. And it provides true freedom. Freedom from sin. Freedom from the condemnation of sin. We remembered the Lord's death this morning. As we partook of those emblems that represent His body and His blood, He willingly went to that cross to give you that freedom. May we do our very best to live up to such a sacrifice, serving Him to the best of our ability every single day. So you've heard the word on many, many, many occasions, I'm sure. And there's always the possibility there's somebody here this morning that it's the first opportunity they've had to hear the word of God. But whether it's the first time or the 100th time, the word has not changed. We're told, just as James said, lay aside all that filthiness and rampant wickedness, which is repent. Repent of the sins that you have committed. Repent even of the intentions towards sin of your heart. Believe the message that has been given to us, because if we don't believe the message and we don't believe the conduit of that message, Jesus, who is the Christ, the Word that came into the world, believe that He is who He claimed to be, then we'll be better off for following the things within the Word, but without that belief, it won't do anything for us. Jesus said, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. We must be a doer of the Word, following those things that He has commanded for us in order to take advantage of the blood of Jesus Christ. We've mentioned belief and repentance, but we must confess that belief. And we must be baptized for the remission of sins. Rising out of that watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life, no longer living for the lust of the flesh, but living for spiritual life. Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. Having been the author, maybe we ought to listen. Listen to all the things that He said. Listen to His commands. Listen to how He will guard us if we become a brother to Jesus, a child of God. Receive with meekness the implanted Word of God, for it is able to save your soul. If you're here this morning and you realize that you have need of acting upon the Word of God, acting upon what you find and have believed within the pages of your Bible, we'd like to assist you. We'd like to help you in any way that we can, whether that be further studying, whether that be you're ready to become a child of God and be baptized for the remission of sins, or if you realize that you've done those things, but you didn't stay on that path, you didn't allow the Word of God to take that root within your heart and be the guard that it should have been, so that you've gone astray, then it's time to come back to Him. It's time to repent of those things. It's time to receive with meekness that word again. Song number 298 has been selected as an invitation song. If you'd like to take advantage of our offer, please come to the front while we stand and while we sing.